I'm not sure. I have pictures. I'll probably verify later. Probably not that many.
And greetings, all of you enemy combatants and indie bayers. This is D Greaser on Thursday, about quarter after four on the 21st of July. And on the other line is one of the loyal developers of San Diego's 96.9 FM. Is that right?
That's right. We're Free Radio San Diego, 96.9 FM, and I'm one of the about one of 20 DJs and the founder of the station.
Oh, great. Yeah, and yeah, we heard you got raided today. That's not good news. Were
all these crazy guys with guns showed up and stole all our stuff.
Yeah, that's what I hear. I heard the audio clip that you did that's on the San Diego Indie Bay. Apparently, nobody was there in person, but you have a 40-watt station down there?
No, we actually have 100-watt. We have a 100-watt transmitter, and we have about 4.6 or so decibels of gain in our antenna. So our effective radiated power, not putting in, like, height over ground, is give or take 270 watts, something along those lines.
Oh, well, that's so great.
We're pretty powerful. We got a pretty good signal going.
270 mighty watts.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, you're right. Stacked up against the big boys, we're still a quite the proverbial drop in the bucket. But you know, we can get down to where we are. We can get down to the border in the south and up to a pretty good ridge line in the north, all the way out to the to pass the harbor and into the open water to the west, and out to not too far out east, but a decent amount. We easily cover the whole city of San Diego.
Oh, well, that's pretty good. What's that? Maybe 30 square miles or something like that.
You know, I've never done the math on it, but quite a bit. I mean, with the funny thing with radio is that every time you have an area that you cover, inherently you'll have a fringe area where people can barely get it, and then you'll obviously have an area past that where people can't. So you're always trying to make your coverage area better, and there's always people who aren't going to be able to hear you. But from everything I've ever found, we've been one of the more powerful stations around, at least as far as coverage goes. And we tried to make sure that we had a good high altitude location for our transmitter site, just because that's really what makes or breaks the deal with VHF, because what you see is what you get when you get down to your antenna.
Sure. Well, you know, it's funny, when I got started in radio, we had it was a legit station in St. Louis. And I don't remember if they were 20,000 watts at the time, but the total budget for the year, it started actually as a commercial station, and total budget for the year was $9,000 for the entire station. And we ended up in the top three because we had such good programming. And it was one of the first listener-supported stations in the country, KDNA, and Lorenzo Milam and Jeremy Landsman were the founders of it, and when that station got sold, it went and started many of the, I think, 72 different NFCB stations, National Federation of Community Broadcasters. So your 270 watts, you know, you can have a real loyal listenership. For example, Free Radio Santa Cruz, you'd be surprised how many people actually listen to it because they have such good programming. And people get real dragged out by listening to this garbage and garbage and garbage day after day after day. You know you're going to get something interesting and diverse, even though it's a mighty 270 watts. So, yeah.
You know, another thing I think really is worth pointing out, a lot of people don't get it, is that for at least in the VHF spectrum, which is the only thing I'm really too familiar with, and not even really that familiar with, to be honest, is that there's a lot of decreasing gains, where in order to double your effective radiated power, you need to square your existing. So to double a 10-watt station, you have to go to 100-watt. Well, to double the power of a 100-watt station, you have to go to a 10,000-watt. It's not just a simple, go from 100 to 200 and you double your signal strength. It doesn't really work that way. So, I mean, that's kind of the reason that, I mean, at least for me, 100 watts is a pretty happy place to hang out at, because past that, you're getting into the big stuff, and you're talking about like big racks of transmitters and this huge stuff that has to have, you know, liquid cooling. But even at then, I mean, I think you made a really valid point where you're saying, you know, even a 20,000 watt station, which is, you know, more than actually truly more than double our effective radiated power, is still only a $9,000 a month budget, or $9,000 a year budget, excuse me. And when you look at the amount of money that can be made through radio, like we've never run an advertisement in our 3 years on the air, and we never will. But when you look at the amount of money you can make through advertisement, it's really pretty amazing. Like $9,000 a month would be you're doing a bad job at advertising. I mean, you can make just money hand over fist, and that's really the reason, at least in my mind, that large media corporations and people with just massive financial vested interests are the ones, you know, that really hold the reins on it, is because you've got something that has a really, really small operating budget, something that actually doesn't take up that much square footage, and something you can just make tons of cash on.
Yeah, you're the mint.
It's really not a bad deal. I mean, the only people who really get screwed over in the whole equation are people like you, me, and the dudes who don't make a bunch of cash doing it. I mean, you know, so except for, you know, the common, ordinary human, everybody wins.
Well, it goes into our karma account.
Yeah, it does in many ways. I'm a big believer in that as well. But it's an interesting, you know, being a part of a radio station, you know, little low power pirate community radio station for the last 3 years has really taught me an awful lot. I've learned a lot. I've gotten a chance to really hang out with some really awesome people. We wouldn't have a hundredth of what we've accomplished so far if it wasn't for the fact that I'm surrounded by about two dozen people that are far more talented and motivated than myself. And that's really what makes everything work. You know, we have staff meetings every week, and we show up, and, you know, every week people have gotten their stuff taken care of, and things are moving along, and new ideas are being brought up that, you know, stuff I never would have even thought of before. And that's really what it takes. I used to think a radio station was equipment and locations and stuff like that. It has nothing to do with that, because you can buy equipment. That's easy. You know, not to say like money grows on trees, but you know, all of our equipment that got rated today was probably worth, what, $3,000? And we can have a benefit party and make $3,000. It won't be easy to do it, but try to find me 20 kick-ass people who, like, get the job done and take care of business and are really motivated to, you know, do good for their community. That's hard to come by, and you can't buy that. And that's the reason I really don't look at this raid as something that's, we knew it was coming, and you know, you'd be a fool to think that they're going to sit around and, you know, knit sweaters. They're the FCC. That's what they do. They come after you when you're a pirate radio station. But it's comical to me to think that, all the people that I've known that have been in our organization and all the great work that they've done, that like, that this is anything more than like a speed bump is just kind of, it's just kind of silly. I mean, I'm not trying in any way to discount, you know, the bad federal people with guns and battering rams and things like that. They'll do what they will. But, you know, there's a lot to be said for, you know, like I said, two dozen some odd people who don't take any bullshit and get the job done. It's a force to be reckoned with. And I really, this is a roadblock. It's a stumbling block, and we got to get through it. And we will. We already have backup equipment ready to go, and we'll keep moving forward.
Well, that's right. It's and you think of the loyal DJs, essentially, as the founding fathers said, you have to have eternal vigilance to save our nation. And this is one time where our nation needs free radio, free communications, and a lot of eternal vigilance. So, let's see, you got rated. Listening to the post that was put on the San Diego Indie Bay, you got your notice a couple of weeks ago. And let's see, I would expect they were claiming that it was interfering with commerce and some transmission or another. Is there any way that they're showing any sort of proof that there's an interference?
No, we've actually never had an interference complaint. We've got a stack of, you know, hey, we hate you, get off the air messages from them. I got one sitting on my stove right now. We get a lot of them, but never there. And there's check boxes. There's like four different little, you know, paragraphs, you know, with little fill in the blank sections on them. And there's one on there that says, you know, you are causing interference, and this is blah 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 blah. And we've never had that one checked. I try to run a really tight ship. I mean, if there was a, you know, I'm a the 20 people that are in this station make up a lot of my friends. I got plenty of friends who aren't in the station. I got parents that live here, friends that live here. And if there was some station on the dial that was interfering with, you know, like the harmonic right underneath us at, like, you know, whatever it is, 45.45 megahertz, the CHP uses that. So if we were causing interference on that harmonic, like, we would be messing with, like, some lady that got into a car accident or something. It's a big deal. So if you're causing interference, that's a big issue to me. And it doesn't, you don't need the FCC. I don't need the FCC to tell me that that's, like, a serious thing. And you're a detriment to your community. You're not helping it. And we've always made sure that we've had redundant low-pass filters in place, you know, 9-element, way beyond anything we actually would need for our power output, redundant 9-element low-pass filters, in addition to the fact that I think that our transmitter puts out something like it trunks those by, like, 46 decibels right off the bat. I mean, we've never had an interference complaint. We're never going to get one as long as I'm on board. And it's just the simple thing that we didn't have a license. And that's it. You know, we've been having, like, we talked to Representative Bob Filner, one of the congressmen that, you know, when you cover a large area, you actually have several representatives that can be in your coverage area. And we were talking to him, and he was like, you know, what are you guys doing? And we're like, you know, we're on the air. And he's like, well, what are you interfering with? And we're like, nothing. And he's like, well, why are they on your case? And we're like, because we don't have a license. And he's like, that's pretty stupid. And I was like, I know. So, there's, you know, it's just really silly. I mean, and the real, I mean, to add insult to injury to the whole thing is that they did it, like, on our dime. Like, that's the one that really kind of bugs me, is when you boil it all down, you know, we're sitting here closing, you know, can't hire teachers, and, you know, we got, and I don't want to even throw out the red herring of the unarmored Humvees and everything like that, but if you pick any place that you think there should ever be a dollar expended, we just paid, you and me, our tax dollars, just paid a bunch of guys to show up, and a couple girls, to show up with guns and battering rams and trucks and haul away a pirate radio station's equipment that wasn't causing any problems, was playing local music and running, you know, free speech radio news in the ever so evil Democracy Now. And that's it.
You know, one of the ways that Free Radio Santa Cruz has stayed so strong is they run city council meetings. They run various public affairs meetings. They do interviews with various politicians, a real good cross-section of all of the politicians as they're running in an election year. You know, they do equal time provisions. They really provide a public service. Of course, they play good new music. They play independent artists and stay away from the corporate chains. And have you been doing any of that?
You know, we do it at the level we can. I mean, one thing that, I just got off the phone about like 2 hours ago with V-Man up in Santa Cruz. He's a good friend of mine. He's when he's in San Diego, he stays at my place. He's a really nice guy. And the big difference between us, though, is that he's in Santa Cruz and we're in San Diego. San Diego, I think, right now is the seventh largest city in the United States. And it's just a big place. We had, in fact, two council members just yesterday or the day before. We're just arrested and resigned on, like, fraud charges. Our mayor resigned, like, Dick Murphy just resigned, like, what, a month ago?
Oh, yeah.
God, like, big. There's an FBI investigation going on over there. There's, like, these massive things happening. And we honestly, I mean, in a city as big as ours, we rank pretty low on the totem pole. And it's pretty hard for us to get things through. So instead, we just basically work with the local community. We work with grassroots organizations. We don't... you know, if there's a politician who doesn't want to give us his or her time, that's fine. And we work with the groups that want to work with us. And what's good about that, though, is that we do have a lot of them. San Diego is still a fairly conservative town. It's a large military town. You'd honestly be surprised how many of our listeners and how many of some of our most dedicated supporters are in the military. You know, you can't really paint everybody with one brushstroke. And we do a pretty good job, but it's definitely not like up in Santa Cruz where, I'll just leave it at that. It's definitely not like up in Santa Cruz.
Well, you know, one thing I was going to recommend, and, you know, when you go back on the air, as you're probably aware, when Clear Channel and these big Infinity and many of the other big chains took over, they've refused to play public service announcements. In fact, even as I understand it, the military ads, the arm, you know, join the army kind of ads, they're paying money, or they're getting paid to run those ads. It used to be that the government would just submit them, the radio or TV stations would play them for free in any available ad spots that they had, and they were called public service announcements. Under deregulation, they're not obligated anymore. Many nonprofits, though, still produce PSAs. And have you done anything to solicit PSAs from the good cross-section of nonprofits down there? I would think that you would get not only some loyalty, but you'd get some a good cross-section of letters to the FCC asking for your safety and preservation.
In fact, we do. We have an open announcement that not only if you send us a written PSA will we peg it on our board and announce it, but we will also, if you have, we really recommend people to make, to if they can in any way, get us like an MP3 or a CD, even an audio tape of, you know, them just doing a 30-second clip of whatever it is they want to say, and then we'll just add it in with the rest of our call signs, and that way we can make sure that their information is always going out the exact way they want it to. And, you know, we put parameters on that. If it's a, you know, a car sales company that's donating, you know, a 16th of its profits to the local Boy Scout troop or something like that, we're not going to run it. But if it's something that is, you know, the Cancer Survivors Park or something like that, of course it's going to go, or at least it'll run. And we have done that. But what we've noticed, honestly, is that a lot of the organizations, they do exactly what a lot of us do when we need to send out press releases. You shotgun them. You know, you send your press release to 50 different places, and you just hope that, you know, 10% of them runs them. The organizations that we work closely with, San Diego Indie Media, the other local community, there's one other local unlicensed station in San Diego here on 106.9. We work with them locally, regularly work with Radioactive San Diego. San Diego Foundation for Change, we received a grant from them. We definitely have our bases covered, but, you know, when it comes right down to it, even if we had the mayor over here playing poker every Friday night, when the FCC and the U.S. Marshals come, it's a federal matter, it's federal jurisdiction, and there you go. We've got, on the front of our site, it even says, like, you know, if you want to help the station, here's 7 addresses of people you can send letters to try to get them to not do this. And we've got the U.S. attorneys on there, we've got the FCC agents themselves, we've got the head of the FCC enforcement, we've got the mayor, we've got the city council, we have your local representatives you can look up, we got everybody. But again, you know, the FCC is not, this is their job, you know, is to sit around and go after you. And it took them a few years, and they left their notices and collected their evidence just like they're supposed to do, and that's what they did.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, in a lot of ways, I mean, I'm not like, you know, folding my hands and going, well, you know, nothing we could do. But what we could have done is, I think what we did do, which is we made sure that we didn't leave them enough evidence to track down us individually by our names. They have no idea who we are. They left, the warrant was addressed to a street address and Free Radio San Diego. No one was arrested. No IDs were run. We have 80% of our backup equipment sitting here ready to go. We could go back on the air in 12 hours if we wanted to. It's, you know, like, so the things that we really needed to do, I think, was to make sure that we knew what they probably would do and how we should respond when that happened. Not if, but when. And I think we've done, you know, obviously not a perfect job of it. Everybody makes mistakes, but I think we've done an okay job of it. I've been really happy with the support that all the other DJs have given, and just the teamwork of being around a really excellent organization like this one.
Well, we're looking forward to, you've taken part in Critical Mass Radio Network, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to you being back for that, certainly you'll give an update. Now, if people want to get in touch with you, if they want to help pool some money for you or chip in some supplies or whatever, you want to give contact information?
Yeah, the easiest way is to just go over to our website, like everybody else, pirate969.org. And we have if somebody wants to give us cash, that's great. There's a PayPal account on there. The other thing, though, like, really, this isn't trying to be cliche, it's the same thing I said on Santa Cruz, is I really think that if people really want to support us, the best thing they can do is support the local organizations in their town. And this isn't, you know, some, you know, far out thing of think globally, act locally. It's true, is that when Santa Cruz went back on the air, 21 days after their search warrant, after they got raided, we get a big shot in the arm from that. We're like, well, hell, we can't let those guys up in Santa Cruz outdo us. We work together. And even if it's something where we just know that, wow, like the tide is switching. One of the biggest reasons that we started the station in the first place is we looked around at all these other great organizations that were doing all this great work, and having an intrepid stance against groups like the FCC, and were willing to put their money where their mouth was, and that really makes a big difference. That really motivates people. And truthfully, from the bottom of my heart, if there's ever any way you can help us, my number one would be to support the local organizations in your town that are doing something as close to as they can to what we're doing. And if not, start it yourself, because that's what we need more of. We need more groups out there. We need to have more diversity. We need to have more democracy in media. And we're going to do our part down here in San Diego. I'll stake my word on that one.
Well, good advice. And if people want to start their own stations, I think probably a good one is Radio for All. Is that .net or .org?
I can't remember off the top of my head, but you can search around for it, or you can email us. Just go to, free radio, pirate969.org, send an email to the main address there, and at the very least, that's the one I check. I'll respond back with a few links for you and tell you, like, hey, this is how you get started. It's not easy. It is the hardest damn thing I've done in my life is be a big part of this radio station, but it's also easily the most rewarding thing I've done with my life, and I would never trade it in.
Well, the first time I got associated with a little micro power like this, Richard Edmondson out here in San Francisco, we did one of the broadcasts on top of a building out here, and I was amazed. He had a tiny little wooden box, looked a lot like a miter box, and it had the transmitter in it, and we had a Walkman. And there was the whole bunch of metal that served as an antenna, and he had a motorcycle battery. We just set it down on the roof and hooked it up and split and went off some distance to listen. So, the whole thing could have cost less than, 89 cents or something like that, a 50-cent Walkman that you could have gotten a yard sale, a beat-up motorcycle battery, and a shoebox with the little transmitter in it. One thing I have, I remember when you could go to the electronics companies and you could get hobby radio transmitters. Was it Edmondson and Heathkits and all sorts of different ones? They were,
yeah. Radio Shack even used to sell them, those little ones.
Sure, it was hobby
like
radio,
$20, something like that.
Yeah, absolutely, a little 10-watt one. And the idea, I've actually kind of been bugged by this idea of calling it pirate, because it is really it's community radio. I like calling them free radio. I like the idea of hobby radio, because in the old days, it teach kids how they could be responsible and do something. You could buy one of these little $10 kits. You could set it in your garage. It was fully legal, and you could just transmit from your garage. It would go a few blocks or a mile or so if you were on top of a hill, and you had every right to do it. And this was true from something like 1927 to maybe during World War II, they asked people not to do it. But if I remember right, they actually still encouraged people to have them in the scary 50s civil defense days. And the idea of hobby radio being outlawed is really an affront to me. And then when you realize the technology has changed, that in the old days, a transmitter, especially the FMs, these were tubes, and the tubes would pulse, and they would, pulse and pulse and pulse, and they would, the FCC, when they gave them a license, they would give them a certain amount of bleed over, so that if a frequency was 94.1, they'd give them up to about 94.5, just so that pulsing would compensate. Well, now with digital transmitters, you're 94.1, you're not going to be heard on 94.3.
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. A lot of people don't know that the reason for the channel spacing protection is because you're absolutely right. There used to be, there was frequency drift. You would just, you had a crystal that was shaking, and every now and then it wouldn't shake just properly, and it would shake a little too much or a little too little or whatever would happen. and your frequency would drift away, and you know your technicians would have to go in and constantly change that. But they got some pretty fancy schmancy stuff now, like phase loop lock systems that will make sure that it has like a separate frequency that's monitoring your main frequency, and if your main one ever goes away, it'll shut down your transmitter and won't allow a signal to escape. I mean, that's the type of transmitter that we're using. In fact, up on Mount Soledad, which is a big mountain up here in San Diego, it's the tallest point in the city, I believe. Tons of antennas up there. You used to be able to take no lie here. You used to be able to take a fluorescent tube, like a fluorescent light tube, stick it up in the air, just hold it with your hand, and within a few minutes it would eventually light up just from the amount of power that was being emanated by all those antennas around there. Well, now they've cleaned that up quite a bit, but I mean that's the kind of stuff that it wasn't even that long ago that the radio transmitters and their the auxiliary equipment was pretty sketchy. I mean, it wasn't that great. And now they've cleaned everything up. They've made it so that the transmitters are a lot more accurate. They don't have the drift. The antennas are tuned. You don't get that that big like EMF bubble around them quite as bad anymore. But yet they still have that channel spacing. And the channel spacing has nothing to do with, protecting. And I won't even begin to get into why it is necessarily that, that 91X, this massive corporate juggernaut rock station by Clear Channel here, needs to be protected from a local community station that really only gives a rat's ass about putting local music, local opinions, and media democracy back on the airwaves. I mean, I find it terribly disgusting that they need to be protected from us. I mean, let alone. But even in a technical perspective, they don't need to be protected from us because they're not drifting, we're not drifting, and we don't cause any interference complaints. So really, whatever angle you look at it from, it's either futile, lying, or just simply grotesque, at least from my perspective. But I also agree that you're absolutely right. I generally try to refer to us as a low-power community station and not a pirate because those are the bastards that stole our airwaves. We're just taking them back.
Yeah, that's right. And in addition, when you were talking about that Clear Channel monster, do they even have local DJs? Most of them. I was working in radio in Colorado. This was over 15 years ago, and they had already honed down the ability to essentially send a signal. I was running two stations at the same time, a big band and a top 40 station at the same time on weekends, and I did nothing. There was a feed that was coming in. There were DJs that were down in Dallas and L.A., and they would always say it's 17 minutes after the hour. They wouldn't say what hour it was, and they were the DJs for 50 stations, and then they would have little PSAs that would kick in, and they would, of course, read off a local spot as if they were a local DJ, but these DJs, there may be DJs now that are sitting in a room in Connecticut that are running 600 stations that are all playing the same top 40 crap for Clear Channel. So it's the idea of protecting a Clear Channel station that doesn't even have any local DJs anymore is a real horror. And then
That's really the killer for me is that, I mean, even getting into the argument of whether or not, like, we're interfering with them, which we're not. There's never been a single thing. And if there was ever a single thing, that's the first thing they'd throw at us, absolutely. But, again, what makes it just so much more repugnant to me is the fact that it's even entered into the equation that for some strange, kooky, weird reason that maybe I'm just too stupid to grasp, they need to be protected from us. A corporation that exists, a publicly traded corporation, which is what Clear Channel is, their number one goal, as by law, is that they have to provide money to their stockholders. That has to be the number one motivation, is, as a publicly traded corporation in the United States, to provide money for your stockholders, to provide a profit for them. Now, the fact that that has to be protected from media democracy and local media assets that don't cause any, station interference, that is absurd to me. And it's not only absurd, but it's really a good, clear indicator of where the FCC's motivations lie. And, we got to remember, the FCC is just an enforcement division. Its laws are created, 99% of those laws are created by Congress. It's directly accountable to Congress. Congress is the one that caved in on the LPFM bill and screwed out, changed all that channel spacing stuff unnecessarily back in 2000. It's our quote-unquote representatives are the ones that are giving the FCC these laws. You know, the FCC, to be truthful, they were the ones that came up with the idea that we should have LPFM on the books back in the late 90s. So it's not like, I mean, you know, when I look at the FCC, I really, you know, it's like I'm looking at a cop. I mean, as bad as that guy is, that law was passed by somebody else.
Well, that's right. And
the enforcement.
Yeah, that's right. And in addition, as we were talking about the frequency bleed over with the pulsing tubes, they gave six extra frequencies on, you know, three on either side of the legitimate or the original, so
right.
that they would have that bleed over. Then, when the big telecom bill happened 5 or 6 years ago, they gave them the ability to keep those six frequencies in addition to their one, and so that allowed them to hog six frequencies and keep them off the market. So it's essentially a matter of the people taking back their property, the airwaves, for the low power, micro power, full power, for that matter, since digital can claim one of those frequencies with no bleed over, it's our right to take those frequencies back. It's our property. And why are they making us take iPods and all sorts of more complicated technological gizmos when we could have very simple radios that get six times more stations and six times more diversity? And the scam is that they want to keep fewer stations because they want to keep their advertising revenues high. You know, a supply and demand. Fewer stations mean the advertisers have to beg for space on the limited number of stations. Well, you increase the number of stations by sixfold, you're talking about advertising rates falling by sixfold. So, you know, what would that do to the economy if people were listening to the stations they really wanted to listen to, and the advertisers were able to lower their costs on advertising? So it's a scam. There are a lot of different ways of approaching the public on this issue. Hey, before we go, I wanted to ask you, are you in Duke Cunningham's district too?
No, we're not in Duke Cunningham's district, in fact. But yeah, what a swell guy, huh? Yeah, we're.
You got any?
I used to live up in his district. I believe he's more up in North County. We're down here in like Center County, Center. Well, we're in the city of San Diego, and he's more up in. I think he covers like Carlsbad and Oceanside and cities up in northern San Diego County.
Okay, I was just.
We're done by Bob Filner is our main representative.
I see. I was just wondering if you have any updates on old Duke.
No, we have not heard that he's, you know, sold any other property in order to, you know, get more defense contracts to, you know, I don't know. He's hilarious. I mean, I think of the fun one that I don't know if a lot of people outside of the area don't realize about him is that, you know, he was taking all that money for his campaign, but his campaign was already well secured. I mean, he honestly probably could still win the re-election right now, even with all this crap going on. There's plenty of people that love him. So it wasn't like he was up against some, you know, evil Democratic National Party threat. He's just a greedy, greedy son of a gun, and that's about the high and the low of it. So, yeah, I'm really glad he's going to be out of office, and I'm kind of not really glad that my tax dollars will be paying his retirement package for the rest of his life, but whatever.
Well, we'll see what we can do to get him impeached in some way or another so he doesn't have to take that retirement package. We can give him a nice Gray Bar Hotels retirement package. Hey, nice talking. Can I keep you on the line while I sign out, and then we'll make sure that we have contact info, and I'll let you know how to find our stream signal.
No sweat.
Okay. Yeah. And so this was a nice interview regarding what's going on down in San Diego. San Diego just got raided at about 11 o'clock this morning. So you're listening to Indie Bay in San Francisco.
Wouldn't it? Do yourself a favor, get a mind transplant, listen to independent radio, the alternative media in general. This is Ward Churchill saying have a nice day.
Hey, hi, I'm Ron Turner from Last Gasp here in San Francisco. I'm having a good time today at the 10th Annual Anarchist Book Fair, where we see just about everything. But I wanted to draw attention to the shirt I'm wearing. I can't see it on this radio, But this is a Chicago policeman shirt, and it's from 96, where the Democratic Convention was. And there were some remarkable parallels to the previous Democratic Convention in that city. One is the mayor was the same, and the other thing is that a lot of the cops were still around. And so on the back of the shirt, it's, they had printed up like that. And you can see it.
I kicked your father's ass in 68. Wait till you see what we do to you.
I thought that was a perfect anarchist shirt to wear today.
Oh, God. So you want to do a little plug for Micropower Radio?
How would I do that?
Well, let's see. We got a bunch of different stations. One's called Pirate Cap. One's called Free Radio Santa Cruz. One's Indie Bay Radio. One's Enemy Combatant Radio.
Okay, well, folks, want to tell you the best thing you can do is turn on one of the pirate radio stations in your area. Because if you do that, you'll be supporting true freedom of expression. And that's kind of hard to do these days because everybody wants to try to jam something in your mouth or your ears and not let you to communicate with your fellow man and woman. And you should be able to do that. So listen to your favorite pirate radio station wherever one appears.
All right.